Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. My name is Leona Abraham Brando, and I am the host of Blog Talk Radio, Shedding Light. We're going to have on a guest with us today. Let me just see what's going on here. We're going to have on a guest with us today, Gerald Bowling, and he is the founder, CEO of Bridges for Change, and that is Bridges, the number four, Change. It's a reentry community inclusive organization empowering and enhancing the lives of minors, adults, and family members in the community, as well as in the penal system. The organization provides positive modification, management, and related supportive services to meet the needs of the client. I want to go over some things, first of all, from yesterday's show. I had a response from a young woman who had question marks, not understanding what it was all about yesterday. We had a few things going on yesterday, and it may have gotten confusing. Hello, this is Gerald Bowling. Could you hold on, audience? I am so sorry. We have Mr. Bowling on the phone. I don't know why, but we'll find out in a minute. Hello. Did you try calling the number? 657-383-1630. Hold on a second, please. No, that's my mouse. I'm having problems with it. No, that's why I asked that you come on 10 minutes earlier so that we could have gotten this straightened before the show started. I know I have, anyway, can you try calling again? 657-383-1630. Okay, thank you. Okay.
Hello?
Gerald, are you on with? Okay. You know what? I don't know if I'm getting hacked or what. Something is not going on right here. But anyway, we are on the air now. Audience, I wanted to mention once before, we're going to introduce Mr. Gerald Bowling. And as I said, he is the Chief Executive Officer and founder of Bridges for Change. That is Bridges for the number four, Change. And you can find him on the internet under Gerald Bowling, Bridges for Change. Yesterday, I received I received in one of the Facebook groups a question mark from one young woman wondering what that was all about. Yesterday, I had spoken about the insecurities of many people out there that are advocating for others. And the reason I brought that up, and I'll explain that, but in the meantime, we had someone from Florida call in, and her loved one who was incarcerated also called in to her, and I had him on the air with us because she's been fighting for him and his situation. But the reason I had this yesterday about insecurities when advocating for the incarcerated, especially the incarcerated, but we should be this way all the time, is to try to be a little bit humble, because we have so many people out there that are focused on being addressed with titles and being addressed in certain ways. I had a doctor one time years ago who, her name was Holly. She asked me to call her Holly. She was a doctor. She had her title. But people sometimes are more personable when you can address them by a more comfortable name. And she asked me to call her by her first name. But some people don't understand how difficult it is to relate to others and have others relate to you if all you're focused on is having them address you as a title. We need to be more personable with those that we're working with so that they feel more on the same level as we are rather than feeling as though we're looking down upon them. This is the reason I had the show yesterday, because I've known an advocate for many years. We were on a first name basis, and all of a sudden it became a title, Miss Brando. I don't mind being addressed that way if I am dealing with somebody from the Department of Corrections calling, or if I'm dealing with somebody from another organization that I'm not familiar with. But when we are networking all the time, we should be able to address one another as we always do, not making changes here and there, because that's phony. It's fake. And when we're working with our clients, if we have to continue to work with them on an ongoing basis, whether they're in the community or behind the prison walls, and we have to expect them to call us by Miss or Mister, it doesn't work that way with me. So everybody is different in the way they interact with their clients or their patients. And I just wanted to clarify that. Now, we have on with us an advocate who has been advocating for people in the communities and behind the prison walls for the past 13 years or more. And I want to introduce him, because Mr. Gerald Bowling, because we're on a first name basis, and I'm sure his clients probably call him the same thing. But Gerald, can you please explain or let the audience know a little bit about yourself? What brought you to the advocacy work that you're doing, and what is your organization all about?
My name is Gerald Bowling. I'm from a place called the Black Bottom in West Philadelphia. Reason why I got to my advocacy, because I was a street kid. So I did street kid stuff. I stole, I robbed, did other stuff. They landed me in prison, group homes and such, since I was a young child until adult age. And what I kept seeing was the same mess was a lot of us was in jail, and none of us was getting out, and the people who were getting out were streamed back inside prison so fast that it made your head spin. You know, nobody ever really got a break out here. Some people got through, some people didn't. And that's how I actually met you, Leona, through this work here. I remember that you were calling out and asking all the advocates around in this city and the people who said they were inside the prison doing work. You were asking about your son, and none of them could give you an answer. And then finally, I think it was just everything is coming together, that we finally got you talking to your son and your son back to where he lived, to where he was at in Boston. So, you know, that's how me and you met. We've been, about this work forever. And just like the stories you were telling me, all come true when, people who are really out here trying to do this work are kind of ostracized by others who really don't want to do the work. They just want the money for the work. So it's a little bit different.
Exactly. That's one of the things I wanted to say, Gerald, and I thank you for bringing that up about your own incarceration. I never knew that. But I will say one thing. This is a prime example. What Gerald Bowling is doing now is he's demonstrating how people can come out of the incarceration. They can come out of the facilities, the institutions, and they can be somebody. I say this all the time, even with Judge Joe, for those of you who watch Judge Joe, the judge on television, he was incarcerated one time. Judge Mathis was incarcerated at one time. These people come out and they become judges, they become lawyers, they become chief executive officers of different organizations. They don't come out with the intention of being identified by the clients and the patients or whatever they're working with. They come out trying to help, but they also have a title. And that's why I say people can have titles and do excellent jobs in the work that they're doing, in the advocacy work they're doing. Others who are less secure, that's where the insecurity comes from, are people that want to be out there just to flash their titles around instead of actually helping their clients. I had to bring this up, Gerald, because as I said, sometimes people tend to confuse their insecurities with the advocacy work that they're doing. And it's good, it's refreshing when I have interaction with chief executive officers like yourself and others who have organizations.
I'm just a regular old person. I don't bait down on the titles, but you got to say a title to these folks out here, or they won't try to get you any kind of notice, I could say like that. And I had to put that there because I was running a recovery house, and in order for me to run a recovery house, I had to have a chief executive officer thing, and you know all those things to do that, you know. But it was just really, you know, everybody just getting down to the nuts and bolts of things and making recovery a good process, you know. So that's all it was about, you know. So, you know, all those names and titles don't bother me, you know what I mean? I'm just a worker. You know what I mean? I'm out here working. I've been out here working for many years. And it's like the same thing in Philadelphia. Like, you know, all these killings happening. It's got the people that shot like 100 times in front of a playground. And, you know, everybody's asking why, because they're tearing Philadelphia apart. They're making Philadelphia a worse and genocide than anything. You know what I mean? So the things that they did to my community personally, privacy, and our community is locked in somewhat with Move, because Move lives down in our area, and they were friends of ours. So, you know, they went against the resistance, and you see what happened to them, and their bones were being displayed like candy, I guess, you know, to these folks traveling all around the world with their bones. With no explanation to the family or anything, you know. So we're fighting all of this now. We're trying to open up a educational school right now. We're having problems because folks don't hear you when their heads are up in the clouds. What I mean by that is, like, we're talking to a group about our own situation, about getting our own money, revamping our neighborhood, putting some more black stores down there, you know, having a civil rights national, international museum down here, what we're working on, and having our legacy as Black Bottle members for history. And, you know, you can say everything that you want to say, but their question is, I can go get somebody else to do what I think you can do. You know what I mean? And that, I thought that was like a slap in the face to us. When I'm sitting around a bunch of doctors and lawyers, you know, who have a profession, and these people, you know, look at us all the same, you know, it's no difference. You know, what the educational level is.
I'm glad you mentioned that, because I want to say one thing, and I brought this up yesterday too. When we come to the black organizations. We have, I remember one time it was a black group that was saying they wanted everybody of color to stop buying from the people of color and not the white man. But yet their prices were much higher than the prices that you can get in a white man's store. These are, and then you have, we have our brothers and sisters who are in organizations that all of a sudden they become too high or too powerful, and they don't even want to deal with their own. But yet they when they talk about Black Lives Matter, we want to look at what Black Lives Matter. Is it the Black Lives that are at the top with their titles and their powers there, or is it all Black Lives Matter? And this is why I say I have a problem with the whites and I have a problem with the blacks in the way they do things. Organizations like your organization deserves to be funded, because what you're doing is exactly what most organizations should do. We go to these websites like ACLU and NAACP and all these websites where they have civil rights. They work with people that are going through civil rights problems, issues, and all these things. But yet when you call them, they're not there. They're not able to do it. Even with in our state here, with some of these legal services, the same thing. They have on their website that they do all these things, but yet when you call them or when prisoners write to them, they get nothing. But yet they're getting the funding, while organizations like yours.
I said the same thing I told you, Leona, before. I said, you know, you going through a lot of stuff with your son. That lady, Miss Holly, lost her son, you know, up there from the prison. And it becomes a battle, sort of, like, that you just don't want to be a part of. You know what I mean? Because, like, you're trying to move one way, and they want you to move the way that they're going to move. But they got to understand that their way that they're moving, they don't understand this. And when you tell them that they don't understand this, this is when they tell, you know, these black folks who know what they're doing, they tell them, you know, sit back over here, I'm going to go get this guy. Remember, we just talked about that. I'm going to go get this guy and give him the money, and the problem is going to still keep existing. You know what I mean? Instead of going with the first person that, you know, they don't want to take orders from. So it's like and nobody's giving them orders. It's just that they want to be in charge. So if they're not in charge, then they have a problem with helping. So they're going to lessen the situation to where, though, they can have other people in charge that's going to listen to them and predicate for them. You know what I mean? Not predicate for the health and wealth of our community, because you've never seen it yet. You've never seen it yet. You know what I mean? Everybody talk about, you know, we free, we have all this standing and all of this sort of stuff. They can shut us down anytime they feel like it. Anytime they feel like it, you know what I mean? With no food, no water, no nothing. And the thing of it is that we're just standing around talking. You know what I mean? Yeah. We're standing around listening to people. We're standing around listening to people who really don't have a clue, right? It's so much killing in Philadelphia now, right, that the only ones that feel safe in Philadelphia,
the people committing crime.
No, not the people who commit crime. The people who are behind the makings of the crimes, the genocidal people, and that can be black, white, green, or gold. I mean, their object is money and not love. And when people do that, then they tend to get away from the message. You know what I mean? Because nobody cares about us. We have to care about ourselves. And that's why I told you years ago, I said, I have to make this so where we can get a law clinic established for our own self, so we can use this throughout the nation to help these people in jail. Because nobody's helping us. Nobody.
No.
You know, you got the people out in L.A., but, like, you know, they only doing what they can do.
Yeah. I want to ask you more about your organization in a few minutes, but before we do, I want to say one thing. I recently learned from one of the incarcerated individuals in Massachusetts that some of these politicians are actually, I mean, politicians, athletes are coming to Massachusetts. They're going to be visiting a prison or a couple of prisons. And I encouraged someone that came on the show yesterday. He's incarcerated in Florida. that maybe that's what the incarcerated need to do, is start in mass writings, to start writing to these celebrities and these athletes, to try to get them to go into the visits, into the prisons to visit. Because Families Against Mandatory Minimum, FAMS, is a national organization, and they're encouraging everyone to encourage their politicians to go in and meet with these incarcerated individuals to give them a voice, because no one's listening to the prisoners. They're listening to one another, and they're listening to their counterparts. As for the funding, when these people provide funding to organizations, it's funding to organizations that already have funding, and they look at them rather than look at the ones that are coming up. Like yourself, in the last 13 years, you should have been getting funding because of what you're doing. But they always choose somebody that's with a higher position or higher title. Massachusetts, this past couple of years ago, I think it was, Black Lives Matter, they have a chapter in Massachusetts. But it turned out that a couple that was supposed to be running that, all the funds were being used on travel, vacation, and everything else. Look at Donald Trump with all this stuff that they're promoting, all the violence and everything. They're getting all this funding, and it was on the news the other day that Donald Trump's keeping this thing going with himself, because all the funds that are coming in are going towards his thing, his personal business or whatever. But this is what I'm saying. This money is all over the place, but none of it's getting to the right sources, right, to the people that are actually doing something or trying to do something. While at the same time, the prisoners, they're just staying limbo. And also, I wanted to mention real quick, there is an act in Massachusetts, and I'm sure it's going to become national if this goes through, an act to establish the Massachusetts Prisoner Bone Marrow Donation Program. Now, if they're going to be using prisoners' bone marrow, I can tell you right now, I know of prisoners who have received surgery from the contracted providers, and that surgery was permanently damaged because they cut into the bone. Are they using the bone marrow from prisoners who are not in need of surgery? I don't know, but these are some of the issues that we need to deal with. Now, I have you on the show because I want you to talk about your organization and what you have done. But real quickly, I also want to say, what you're talking about, the violence, it's escalated all over the country. We have it here in Massachusetts. Every single day we're hearing about 3 or 4 people being shot. It's getting really bad around the country.
Yeah, but they won't let the people work. They won't let the people work who know how to work. So, like, if you don't do that, you're going to continue to get this, right? You're going to continue to get it, right? So when somebody says, like I can say right now, right, I can do my best. And I know that, you know, I'm going to reduce some of this crime out here. I'm going to do it, but I need others to help, right? So I can say that loud as I want to. I can say that to the mayor. I can say that to different people in the news, people, all of that stuff there. It's going to go in deaf ears. You know why? Because they want this to happen. They want us to kill each other. They want us to be poverty-stricken. They want us to do all these things that are so negative to our own self, our own spirit. So why would they want to help us? Why would they give us a way out? And this talking about jail, if you go back in the history, in 1989, that's when I was in Camp Hill. That's when the guards beat me until I can't walk right now, right? They did all this stuff to me in the hole, right? So now you end up in 1989 when they were building Smithville, right? They found 300 body parts of people outside Huntington Jail, because that's where Huntington is. You talking about experiment?
I was there. We put on a rally. I'm glad you mentioned
talk about. Holmesburg, where University of Penn, and Drexel was, all of them are together. Don't get it messed up, right? They were giving people milkshakes in the jail, you know, bring milk, telling them to take this and see what happened to you stuff. You understand? They were only coming to us. You know what I mean? So it's only us that can stop this. You're talking about, Black Lives Matter, fine and well. That's good, whatever you believe in. But the prisoners themselves, right, They can stop spending so much at commissary. Stop buying their cable. Stop buying their TV. Buy them some typewriters, right? Get together, right? Get in the law library, right? And make it happen. They can do their own 501(c) from inside of jail. So they can't tell me they can't help themselves. You know what I mean? So, you know, it's fun to help from out here and you know, trying to get people started, but it's nothing like when you start to help yourself. You know what I mean? When you try to correct your own position and your own state. You know what I mean? It brings out something in you. It brings a winning spirit in you. You know what I mean? So, like, you know, they can stop doing that. Stop supplying their chain. Stop supplying their chain of money. Eat on what you have to eat on. Get some of your brothers out of jail that you know that don't belong there. Stop trying to, you know, do the things you used to do on the street. Change your life. You know what I mean? You know, we need all the help we can get. And those are brothers who can strictly stay on top of stuff because they right there. They right there in jail. They don't have enough ability to do. But they can do that other than getting in trouble. So that when they come home, they have a good mindset. And now when they come home, we got somewhere for them to go. We got a house for them, and we got a place for them to work and get money. You know? So we don't have to leave nobody behind.
That's it.
The way that we're doing things, we're not doing it right.
We recently got a new new Boston police officer. He's a current police chief in Ann Arbor, Michigan. But this police officer, this chief of police, Michael Cox, is a black man. And he was beaten brutally by his own peers some time ago because they apparently mistook him for an offender. But there was no need to beat him. And he ended up filing a major lawsuit against them. He is now the Boston police officer, chief of police in Massachusetts. So this is a big step. I mean, he is the police commissioner. He is our new police commissioner. But he's been through it, so he's going to know exactly what you're talking about and what others are talking about because he's been there, and he did nothing.
He know it. He can know it all he wants. You know what I mean? It's all about the execution. You know what I mean? Like I tell them brothers right now, I've been fighting over 30 years for them brothers, right? They won't let me in the jails. They won't let me back inside the halfway houses or anything there. You know what I mean? Know why? Because I was getting them out. I was doing things and they were evolving. They just wasn't standing there. You know what I mean? Sitting like a sitting duck. They got their own businesses now. You know what I mean? It only takes to speak life into people. You know what I mean? When you speak life into people, what happens? Life starts to create. You know what I mean? All them brothers in there, I don't care where they from, Florida, California, wherever y'all from. Yo, stop playing, yo. Get together. Get y'all teams together. Y'all really want to stop some shit? Then really start stopping. Y'all know the laws. Y'all can tell us the laws to oppose.
You're saying they won't let you in the prisons? They won't let you in the prison to work with the incarcerated? And you have an organization?
They put me out.
The Department of Justice now has a place where you can actually complain, especially being the chief executive officer of your foundation, of your organization. Because I know people who have been released from prison more recent than you, and they're able to get into the prisons. So you need to file a complaint. And maybe this is some place where you need to contact the legislative members in your community.
I already did that. What they want to do, I'm going to tell you what they did. You know, what they want me to do is give them my plan, right? They want me to give them my plan to go inside the jail with. That's their offer. I told them no. I'm not going to do it. I already did it in Chester with Richard. Richard Carter. I already did it in Chester with them. And, you know, I can show you pictures of that. Like, they had me sitting in the middle of the room. giving out my information.
So they want to take your plan, your proposal, so that they can get the credit. This is what I'm talking about with insecurities, because these people can't get it together themselves. They want to take it from somebody that's not as established as they are, so that they can get even more established and keep and oppress those who come up with the good ideas. This is what I'm exactly what I'm talking about with the insecurities in advocacy work in this country. Go above them then. If you have to write a letter to the President of the United States and let them know, what's going on, because this is inhumane. I mean, this is just outrageous. It's absurd. These legislative members can't even get up enough courage to go and visit the incarcerated, but yet they want to take somebody else's plan to get the credit.
Yeah, well, that's what happens, and that's what's been happening to me. You know what I mean? Like, it's just crazy. Like, you know what I mean? I just don't understand it. Like, because, you know, I'm not saying that, you know, I'm the all knowing and anything, but I know this thing. I've been in it since I was a teenager, so I know it. I stopped going to jail when I was 40. So I have to know something about this stuff. You know what I mean? So I do. And I know how to keep people out. You know what I mean? Because I do. I just got a guy. He just did 32 years. Main ways, though. He just came home. He beat a murder charge, a false murder charge on him. Now, you know, he got a house. When he came home, he was homeless. You know what I mean? Now he got a house, he got a car, he got work. You know what I mean? But, he's still struggling out here. So what I do, you know, I help him along. You know what I mean? So I'm his mentor. You know what I mean? And I've been his mentor, and my mentorship don't stop. You know what I mean? I'm not on top of nobody like that unless I know that they're falling in the wrong track. You know what I mean? People got to always got to be able to live and make mistakes. You know what I mean? And then see their mistakes. And then correct their mistakes. You understand? This guy's doing well.
I'd like to talk to you outside the show, Gerald, because I'm going to do some research. Because you have an organization, and your organization involves reentry, and it involves prisoners. There's no way that anybody should prevent you from going into the prisons to work with those, especially those soon to be released. There's no way.
Well, they did that because of Camp Hill, because nobody in the state of Pennsylvania liked the Camp Hill. Like I told you, when I came home from Camp Hill, they had me going there at 6 o'clock in the morning and 6 o'clock at night. I had to take two pisses for 2 or 3 months. I had to go be there at 6 o'clock in the morning and at 6 o'clock at night every day. Every day, Monday through Sunday, every day.
I'm familiar with Camp Hill. Like, Camp Hill was abusive, just like Smithfield. I'll tell you, Smithfield and Camp Hill, even Frackville, one of the prisoners before he allegedly committed suicide back in 2007, they had sent him to Frackville for something. They kept him there for a while. But when they brought him back, he was supposedly committed suicide shortly after. Camp Hill and Smithfield, are two of the worst. But there are others as well. Greater Federal K and Somerset and all of them, but even Green, but that's more or less for death row. But anyway, it really upsets me when they pull that on you, when I know of people that are going into the prisons that have been in prison before. We need to talk after. Maybe not today, but sometime before the next.
Yeah. I love to talk because I'm trying to find a way in. You know what I mean? I'm not giving nobody my work that I've been through. I know how to do. I'm not giving nobody my work for them to get paid while I'm sitting here, you know what I mean, struggling. No, I'm not going to do that.
No.
You know what I mean? I'm not going to. So I'd rather just struggle. And, I'm sorry to see what's happening, but, I can't do it, man, because they're going to go in there and mess things up like they did before. This ain't the first time, you know. This ain't the first time. They lied to me and told me they were going to give me a job. At the place I was at when I came out, whoever heard that you can't work when you're on probation and parole? Whoever heard of that? They told me they can't give me a job because I'm on probation and parole.
You know, it's about who you are, and this is what goes on in this country. I have people from other countries that talk about everything that's going on in this country because they're watching this country like white on rice. But the thing is, what's going on in this country is it's who you know. It's what you're about. Just like with prisoners being targeted, it wasn't about the crime that they committed so much as who it was against. And that's what happens in this country. But there's people, look, if there was prison illegal services, one time they sent the paralegal in to meet with a so-called client that had been begging for help. The paralegal goes to the prison the day that she was supposed to meet with the client, and the guards tell her the client didn't want to meet with anybody. This is how intelligent they are. So instead of saying, I want to hear it from the client's mouth himself, she left, never went back to this day. And these are people getting funding for what? You know something, when a prisoner, when an incarcerated individual is asking for help, and there's an organization out there, if they're going to send somebody in, they know the help is because they're getting oppressed by the prison officials or guards. So when they send somebody in, if they say that person doesn't want to meet with anybody, that individual going in to meet with the client needs to say, I need to hear it from him. I need to report back to my superiors, and they want to hear it. They want me to hear it directly from him or her. That's not what they do.
See, what happens, they need to have what they used to, like block liaisons. So they would take care of everybody's need there and make sure there is no need there. You know what I mean? But they don't have that because they don't want that.
They have ombudsmen. Ombudsmen are supposed to be mediators between the prisoners and them, or the DOC, or between the people advocating for the incarcerated and the DOC. Unfortunately, though, the ombudsman is government again. So some places, I know at one time you could call an ombudsman and they would help you. You know, they'd be a mediator. But times have changed now. We're in a system now where everybody tries to side with the multitude, and they all try to side with the DOC officials because of the union. The DOC, the prison, the penal system has a big union right now, and everybody's afraid, even our politicians. Everybody's cowards these days, and that's why nothing's getting done that should be. But it's not worth, I mean, it's still worth to try to contact them.
Well, see, it's for us to contact Bob Barker, you know what I mean? It's for us to contact O'Keefe, you know what I mean? These people are making, I'm just going to say millions, and I'm going to be generous when I say that. These people are making millions off of incarcerated folks, millions, for the commissary. And Bob Barker owns soap. He owns towels. He owns bedding. He owns the toothbrushes. You know, Bob Barker from Price is Right.
Yeah, so it's not only Bob Barker. It's not. It's also Domino's Pizza. It's Starbucks. Look at even Bill Cosby before he went to prison himself. He had invested in. It's a mess.
Yeah, so it's like it's time for us to invest in ourselves. You know what I mean? Like stop giving these people so much power over. You know what I mean? Like, even when you're in jail, in the worst of conditions, right, they may have power over your physical, but they can't do nothing with your mental and your spiritual. That's where you're free at. That's where everybody go to jail. They find freedom in that. Not freedom in being free, but freedom in your mind, or freedom in your heart and soul. So when you see people come home and they change, right, and then like they can't keep it up because they never was in that world before. You know what I mean? So they tend to go back to the world that they were in because they're more comfortable there. You know what I mean? But sometimes they got to understand that they have to be uncomfortable in a lot of places. You know what I mean? So that they can grow, because they're not grown. They just stagnant, and then they go back to jail, right? Stagnant and go back to jail. They come out working, a lot of energy, blah, 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 blah. Life starts to happen, but we won't stagnant, go right back to jail, right? That's the motto. Parole officer, doing this, doing that, doing this. You know, my wife had to get me out 7 times in 3 days. They locked me up 7 times in 3 days. You hear me? 7 times in 3 days they locked me up.
For what?
Yeah, I mean, for violations.
You mean since your organization?
They kept violating. I get out, they violate me. I get out, they violate me. I get out, they violate me. I get out again, they violate me. I get out that night, I go home, I go down there the next morning, because you know you got to go stay in 24 hours, 24 to 72. So I go down there, they violate me. Judge Ricardo Jackson, one of the nastiest judges down in the Philadelphia court system. Look him up, right? He told them he's dropping everything because up in Camp Hill, they gave me a case. So when I came back down here, he was talking to me. He seen the remnants of what they had done to me. Like, and he was like, I'm not going to do nothing on this case because he's on my probation. I'm going to let that ride. I'm not going to hit him with nothing. Send him back. He come back down here when he come home, then he come see me and we'll squash him. Man, I couldn't even do that with that man. That man told him to release me right then and there. You know what I mean? Release me right then and there. They were just overzealous. And we have to understand, like, we gotta be the ones who had the conscious mind, because they don't have nothing to lose. Nothing. They sent us back for nothing. They used to. They make our life horrible because they don't have a life. You know what I mean? So out here is a blessing. But in order to be out here and to stay out here, we need the folks that's in there to help us. To help us. Y'all did all that bullshit for all that long time. Now take your influence, right, and put it on the mind of some young folks or the mind of somebody want to learn something, and let's move out. Y'all got all the time in the world to bring all our issues up so that we can go to the Supreme Court or wherever you want to go to and bring these issues that are affecting us in our community for so long.
Are you familiar with the universities in Pennsylvania that have prison clinics for prisoners, where they work to help advocate?
I know all of them.
Okay,
I'm just going to mention to you, I know all of them.
The University of Pittsburgh has a prisoner legal support project. That's mm-hmm. one of them, prisoner legal legal support project in University of Pittsburgh. But I know they have them in every state. They have universities that do work on projects like that. So it might be good as a nonprofit yourself to connect with them. Also, I was going to say, because you have an organization, you can get help from, say, like Harvard University. They have, they also help nonprofits, and they help with your articles of organization. They help with a lot of different things. So maybe checking into some of these places to help with your organization and getting some, you know, legal advice, or even getting a lawyer, nonprofit, a lawyer to work in your organization. They have pro bono mm-hmm. lawyers that work with organizations like yours.
That would be great. I mean, we need that.
Yeah, these are some things you might want to check into, because, like I say, what you're trying to do, Gerald, is awesome. And there should be no barriers to what you're trying to do. The only barriers is that you're not one of these greedy people that want fame and all this stuff. You want to get something accomplished.
Yeah, I want to get our kids right. You know what I mean? I want to get our people right. I mean, we deserve to live honorably. You know what I mean? And we have to put that in our minds. You know what I mean? We can't leave that as a forethought. You know what I mean? We have been desecrated for a long time, and now it's time to live in honor and respect, you know what I mean, and dignity. You know what I mean? That's what we should be living in, not this chaos that these people bring to us, you know what I mean? So, like, you know, we need to help each other, you know what I mean, whether that's to eat, whether that's a place to live, whatever. We need to put our money together in every state and start to buy real estate. Don't let these people come in here and buy it all up and move us to wherever and however and whatever. You know what I mean? Moving families out. They've been, you know, there for 40, 50 years. In the case of the black body, they move the families out the same day for bulldozers. You know what I mean? So, you know, they have a horrible past. You know what I mean? And we can't keep reliving that past. We can't keep on letting them do this to us. You know what I mean?
You know,
it's like we have to stand up.
That's what I say. A lot of these, like you say, the oppression has gone on so long. But a lot of these young people, even not only the young people, anybody of color of any age, one of the things is, and even some, a lot of Caucasian, you know, males but and women, but a lot of them, they have learned not to trust anybody. They don't know who to trust, especially like the lower class white and the people of color. It's almost as though they have been messed over so many times by people in power, and that they don't trust anybody. So when we, and I tell my volunteers, when they communicate, interact with the clients, do it in a personal way. Call them by first name. Let them call you by first name. And that way, you're establishing some kind of connection. You're establishing the trust. And that's what's missing in a lot of these cases. But getting back to our own, again, unfortunately, when I was in Ghana, West Africa, a lot of those people said that they didn't even want nothing to do with the African-Americans, because they said they go over to their countries and they spend their monies in the tourist attractions. They don't try to go into the villages in the areas where their ancestors were. They don't try to learn anything about their culture, but they go over there like the white man and they come back to the States. This is what we have in the States, the same attitudes of those who are in more power than those that are less fortunate. We need to come together as a group. We need to come together as a culture in order to see any achievement. Now, I'm going to say real quickly, and I'm going to let you finish off the show with the next 12 minutes. I'm going to say there's a lot of people who have loved ones inside, parents or parents, mothers that have all kinds of groups out there on Facebook. There's a lot of people who have loved ones inside who do absolutely nothing but be on the Facebook pages complaining or crying about their own problems. Instead of getting involved, you wonder why these people are incarcerated. They're incarcerated because they didn't have the support of their families to begin with. And that's what's missing. Now, these girls that are out there saying mama this and mama that, trying to be big shots because their boyfriend, they feel, are powerful. Their boyfriends are in prison, the bad guy. Instead of trying to help their boyfriends or their fiancés or their husbands to become better individuals, they're becoming less individuals on the outside. They should be trying to help their loved ones, and they should be joining groups that are trying to help their loved ones as well. But they're out there trying to be cool themselves. It's not cool at all when you see a woman or hear a woman trying to act like a badass prisoner herself when her boyfriend is trying to get some kind of, and that's why I think a lot of them have girlfriends on the side, pen pals on the side, because they're not getting the type of interaction with their loved one that they really want. Mama.
Well, like I say, with all that stuff right there, with, you know, somebody putting on a mask, you know what I mean? You're going to have to take the mask off one day, you know what I mean? So, you know, why not? Don't even put it on. Far as guys writing pen pals, like I said before, right? You need to concentrate on getting out. You need
That's
to concentrate
it.
On what you're going to do, right? Because obviously, right, if you keep on doing the same thing over and over, right, you get the same results, right? That means you're not doing nothing. You're wasting time, right? Stop wasting your time in your life. I mean, I can't tell you what to do. I can't tell you. You want to go with 1,000 women? That's on you. That's on you. You know what I mean? You have to answer to that. All I'm asking you is to stop killing each other. Come to an agreement. Put your money together. Start open up a development corporation in y'all cities. Start buying property and take care of y'all people, man. And take care of the elderly and the children. You know what I mean? And help your brother and your sister. That's what I want. I don't want that spectacular from you. You know what I mean? I don't want none of that. I just want you to act like a human being. I really do. Like, you understand? Like, I want to live life just like you. I understand you angry and, you know, you this and responded and all this and going through a lot. But you don't have to put on nobody's mask. a Gucci don't make you feel better. It only make you feel better for a minute. It's like a drug. If you don't pick it up, guess what happens?
You know, when I hear from prisoners, the incarcerated individuals who are trying to put something together with all the prisoners, come together to try to work with the advocates on the outside, a lot of them are saying these young kids that are incarcerated, they're so busy getting high on drugs, they seem like they don't want to do nothing. Well, see, this is where the parent or the people that are their loved ones on the outside need to encourage them to stop doing what they're doing.
No,
it's not real.
No. What their loved ones need to stop doing, if they're doing this, is bringing them the stuff. You know what I mean? Listen, like, it's time for them to save their own lives. I mean, just imagine, right, that you jumped in a pool of water and you forgot you couldn't swim for some odd reason, or you got in the shock. You're going to try to save your life, so save it. I mean, don't put no added pressure on nobody on the outside. That's all they're doing. They know not to pick it up because they know what it does. They're not stupid. You know what I mean? And you need to stop playing with people, right? If they want to do that, then guess what? You have to move on. That's not what you do. So if that's not what you do, then you don't advocate for it. If they want to keep getting high, that's on them. Yeah, I'm right here.
A lot of them are putting the money into their loved one's pockets, thinking they're helping them when they're in fact. When you start putting $100 a month or $70 a month or whatever in your loved one's pocket, you know it's going on something more than canteen. And this is a sad situation. Since the pandemic, drugs are still getting into the prisons, even though there were no visits. All visits had been on suspension. So where was the drugs coming from? The very people that are overseeing it.
Officials need their money. Their money don't stop. You know,
yeah.
They know everybody. They know everybody who's selling, who's dealing. They know the horse. They know the mules and everything. They know everything. They know everything. Trust me.
That's the sad thing.
That shit. It ain't no sad thing. It's what jail is about.
No, it's sad that the parents. One woman said, I've been sending my son all this money all this time. I'm not going to stop. I love my son. If you love your son, you're going to stop. But that's the sad thing about
it.
They're so busy arguing and trying to make it seem like they're doing the right thing, that they're doing the wrong thing. And look at my loved one's been incarcerated all these years, will not accept money. And now if I was to send money, it would come back to me. He might be going without a lot of things, but at the same time, the department, the prisons are not making a lot of money off of him. And he's not involved with all that crap that they're feeding those prisoners.
Yeah, well, now they got to pay for the phones. Now they got to, if you drop some money on them, they take a percentage out, you know, so they doing all kinds of stuff now. Like, you understand? Like, that's why I say, you know, put all that stuff down, put all that stuff to the side. You know what I mean? Like stop making their pockets more fatter. You know what I mean? Stop doing it. Like, for real, go back to a typewriter. Get you a paper and some notebooks and get in the law library and rip them up. Make your freedom. Make your liberty.
Gerald,
help us. We need your help.
We have about 5 minutes left, so can you please just let the audience know what it is that you are doing as far as the reentry and the community work that you're doing?
For those that are soon to be released? Yeah, well, right now, we're trying to open up a program in the Youth Study Center, and those who are being released in the county, we're going to do, it's already started, actually. It's a program that helps them get jobs in the lab, and they get paid for it here in Philly. So I want to expand that to the youth in the Youth Study Center and also the at-risk youth in the community schools. We want to take the third graders in the community schools, and we want to teach them architecture. So the architects will work with them and bring them up through different kind of exercises. So I hope I haven't given up too much But that's what we're doing right now as we speak. And we're with the University of Penn and Drexel with this. So, like, I think the program is slated to start in the fall. So we're hoping that it does get life so that we can take these kids off the street and make them engineers.
I was going to say, you know that there's a lot of students in the universities in all the states that are actually looking to do volunteer work to get for their internships or to get the experience or for other reasons. So if you contacted the universities or the colleges and you tell them that you'd like to speak with somebody about the opportunities for the students who are going to school for law or going to school for psychology or going to school for education or whatever, that you'd like to give them the opportunity to do some volunteer work with you.
No problem. Anybody can contact me at blackbottom436.
No, they don't contact you. You contact them. You know, and I want you to give your information, but I wanted to say real quickly, we have someone from Black Lives Matter, the prison chapter out of California, trying to call in, I believe. Let's just see. Hello, you want to state your name, please?
Yes, my name is Ajamo. How are you doing?
Good. How are you, Ajamo?
I'm blessed. As you already know, like you say, I am. Oh, sorry about that. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, we have Gerald Bowling, Chief Executive Officer and founder of Bridges for Change out of Pennsylvania. And we're going to be closing down in a little while, but I'm going to have him back on again. But I want you to talk a little bit about what you've been doing as well. So, Gerald, I want you to hear what Al-Jamu was talking about. So both of you go ahead. I'm going to back out for now.
All right. First of all, my government name is Jay Burton, hashtag Free Jay Burton. I've been incarcerated for the past 33 years. But
okay.
I also go by the name of Ajamu. I've been incarcerated. Oh, excuse me. I am the founder of Black Lives Matter Prison Chapter. As I explained to you, I've been incarcerated for the past 33 years since I was 16 years old. I'm an advocate. I'm a jailhouse lawyer. I'm also an author. And I do a lot for the people, especially those behind bars, that try to be the voice for people that's behind bars because I have access to a phone. So I try to use this these platforms to let everybody know what's going on behind these walls so people that's outside can either reach back to the people that's behind these walls, only to those that's really trying to create change. And also, like, at the moment, because I know we are pressed for time, I have a sister. She's not my real sister, but I have a sister. Her son was murdered in a prison out there in Indiana. And I've been trying to help her get some exposure on the case. We didn't already got people to file a lawsuit and all this stuff. But we don't have real attorneys on the case. Like I said, I'm a jailhouse lawyer, but I'm over here in California. I'm also incarcerated. But we've been trying to get some exposure on her case and what's going on. And the federal courts, they just basically dismissed her case because they said she refused to bring an attorney on board. Although we didn't put in all the work to do everything that according to the 1983 laws. The 1983, that's a civil suit, federal lawsuit. And we did everything correct and on how you're supposed to do it. But the thing is, they know that she has help from people that who are not actually considered attorneys. So we've been trying to get some exposure on her case and everything that's going on. So like I say, I am the founder of the Black Lives Matter Prison Chapter. I have everybody over in Los Angeles, the founders of Los Angeles Black Lives Matter, they all support everything that I got going on. And I have a lot going on. So whatever it is that you would like to communicate with me about, we can communicate either on here or you can contact me directly, and we can see where we go from there.
Okay. Do both of you give your information on how the audience can connect with you and also how you can connect with one another?
All right.
Okay.
Let me get a pen, bro.
Okay.
I'm a little bit slow here, man. Appreciate you, though, bro, because, like, you know, a lot of people don't stand up like that. So I appreciate that.
Nah.
But I got a friend out there named Arthur Leeds, and I want to set you up with him, too.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Well, you
ahead,
know,
bro.
you know, when you stand up for causes, you got to understand that you become a target. I just did 9 years in solitary confinement, but they still haven't broke me. They've been trying to find ways to break me, but I guess they'd have finally figured it out. See, we haven't broke him in 33 years, so there's a possibility we're not going to break him. So what they try to do, they try to discourage those around so they won't become the type of people that's going to help, you know, shine that light in the darkness. So yeah, that's what I'm here for. For those who are trying to reach out to me, my Instagram page. Can you hear me?
Yep.
All right, my Instagram, if you're ready, it's Freedom for Jay Burton. Freedom, FREEDOM, the number 4, JAYBURTON. That's all on it because a lot of times.
Burton?
Yeah, Jay Burton. JAYBURTON. Now, there'd be a lot of fakes because a lot of people be trying to duplicate my page, but that's the actual page, Freedom for Jay Burton. It don't have nothing else on there but Freedom for Jay Burton.
Okay. So my joint is the Black Bottom.
Hold
all
on,
one word. Yeah, Black Bottom.
Black Lie.
Black Bottom.
The T-H-E.
Yeah, B-L-A-C-K.
Yeah.
B-O-T-T-O-M.
B-O,
four.
Wait a minute. I lost. You said the black, what'd you say?
Bottom. Like top, bottom, the bottom. B-O-T-T-O-M.
Divided?
O-M.
Yeah, bottom.
I can't even catch it.
Bottom.
I can't catch it going in and out.
B-O-T-T-O-M. You can always listen to the radio show.
Oh, the Black Bottom. The Black Bottom. The Black Bottom. Yeah. I got you.
Black, no, not the. It's just Black Bottom. 436@gmail.com.
Oh, this is your Gmail. This is not no
website.
This is not no
nah, I don't.
This is
I
not.
Don't, hold on, bro. Let me give you my number. 215. Yeah, 800. 800. Yeah, 4124. I don't do too much. All of that, like, because, like, you know, we moving on a different thing. Like, I just get on there, look at a few things, and then get off. I don't conversate on those platforms. I conversate through email.
Okay, I got
just,
you.
I'll do it. So 215-800-4124, that's my number. And I'm going to talk to Arthur. I'm going to call him probably, like, on Sunday. And he's right out there in California. He out there with Dorsey Nunn and them. You know Dorsey Nunn?
Yeah, Dorsey Nunn. Yeah, they out of Compton. No, excuse me. Dorsey Nunn, they runs all of us or nothing.
Right, all of us or nothing. So,
yeah.
Like, yeah, man, those my guys, man. So, like, I don't know if you with them, but, yeah, but, you know, if anything I could do, I'll try to do it on this end, no problem. I mean, but thank you for your work, bro. Hey, man, I'm going to look you up and get you on the Instagram, but, you know what I mean, I'll barely be on there, but I'll get you on there, though.
Yeah, exactly. Usually that's like mm-hmm. my phone book because sometimes I might not have a phone. I know I can go straight to there. Yeah, but Dorsey Nunn and them, they doing pretty good work out here in California. That's why I said all of us are none. I knew exactly who you were talking about.
Mm-hmm.
They actually got a nice pipeline within these prisons, so... I've done a few things with them, wrote a few articles. Actually, they send me a lot of their newsletters. I think they do a newsletter every other month. So,
yeah,
I'm connected. I never actually, Dorsey Nunn, I never actually communicate directly with I never actually communicated with them, but I have communicated with other people that's actually involved in the program.
Right.
Yeah, yeah, like one of the co-founders. Hello?
Yeah, I'm right here.
Yeah, one of the co-founders, Susan Burton.
Okay.
I was just going to say, I'm going to be sending both of you some resources through your messenger. I'm going to be sending both of you resources for your state. And check it out because you should be able to get some major help from these resources.
Okay. So this, all right, in the meantime, what I'm going to do, I'm about to email you so you can have my email. I got
okay,
you right
bro.
Here. I'm going to email you right now.
All right.
Then you can actually have my email.
Okay. Well, like, I'll send you some stuff that we're doing presently. You know what I mean? So when I get this done, and also I meant to tell you, Leona, we're working with a group out in Atlanta because we're trying to put a program out there in Atlanta too, so a school program for the kids. I asked the school program for them, so we're trying to tick along and work this thing out. So we'll find out this coming. I think they say they're coming up here during the seasonal. How, you know, everybody gets together for all those events. You know, the winter events, maybe the Thanksgivings and all that. They're gonna try to get up by that time. Yeah. So I'll let you know about that, how everything's going. But I appreciate you for having me on. Thank you.
We're going to have you back on again, but actually both of you. Just let me know when, because I took up a lot of time today trying to explain yesterday's show. But just let me know when you can be available, either or both, and I'll set it up again so you can come back on. We're still recording, but we're not on nationally right now. So we're going to end up closing in the episode. And again, I want to have you both back on because I think you can not only help one another, but also we can get some resources out to both of you so you can get some kind of help there. And Gerald, I'm going to find out about the prisons not letting you go into the prisons because you have an organization. You've been out of prison for years, so there's no reason why they should deny Bridges for Change, a reentry organization, to go into the prisons to meet with their clients. No reason.
And that's the way it is. The commissioner in the city jail turned me down. But, okay, well, I'm going to be waiting for
the commissioner will. The commissioner will. They don't want their dirty out there, but it's going to get out there anyway because that's what the Block Talk Radio Shedding Light is all about, exposure. So thank you both again. And Jay, next time you come on, you might want to talk about the book that you wrote too.
Yes, we'll talk about that.
Okay, so I'll have you both back on again. Again, thank you both. And Gerald, let me know your schedule, and I will let you know when we can get.
My schedule is open, so you can have me back on tomorrow if you want.
Tomorrow? What's tomorrow? What's today? Friday. Okay.
Whatever time.
If you want, we can do it Tuesday.
Okay, yeah, Tuesdays, but not around 11 o'clock. I'll be having our meetings around that time. So if it can be a little later than 11.
Does Saturdays work better for you?
Yeah, Saturday would be real good for me.
Okay, I'll set it up for next Saturday because tomorrow I won't be able to do it. But next Saturday, I'll set it up so we can have this ongoing discussion next Saturday. But if so, I'd appreciate it too.
Well, just send me the link to tell me. But look, I just emailed blackbottom4360. I think I'm
436.
Be up. 436. It's 436.
Yeah, 436. Yeah, let me go on there and see what happens.
Yeah, that's what happened. I hit the wrong spot. Put too many numbers on there.
436. All one word, black bottom. 436. Okay. So they want to see these people, man.
Okay, I'll be sending both of you some information.
Okay. All right, okay. All right. So now they want to do another in person. In this second.
Okay.
All right, I just sent it in again.